What if the line between mental health and mental illness isn't a line at all, but a spectrum where we all exist? The DSM-5, psychiatry's diagnostic bible, can feel like an impenetrable fortress of jargon and clinical codes. Yet understanding how mental health professionals categorize human suffering matters deeply, because these labels shape treatment, insurance coverage, and how we see ourselves. Dr. Steven Buser's radical reimagining transforms this dense manual into something revolutionary, a map showing that we're all navigating the same psychological territories, just at different coordinates. His framework doesn't ask, are you mentally ill, but rather, where do you fall on the fundamental dimensions of human experience? This shift changes everything. Imagine 8 continuums stretching before you, each representing a core aspect of psychological life. These aren't separate disorders, but interconnected dimensions where everyone has a position. The question isn't whether you experience these dimensions, you do. The question is whether you've drifted too far toward either extreme. The depression spectrum ranges from emotional shallowness, gliding through life without introspection, to overwhelming despair that paralyzes and whispers of ending everything. Mental health means finding the middle ground where we feel deeply without drowning. Depression isn't simply sadness. It's sliding too far toward despair. DSM-5 replaced dysthymic disorder with persistent depressive disorder, recognizing that chronic low-grade depression often impairs life more than brief, intense episodes. Like chronic pain versus acute injury, persistent depression's constant gray fog prevents full engagement for years. Optimal functioning doesn't mean eliminating sadness. As Rumi wrote, "The wound is the place where the light enters you." Healthy middle ground allows emotional depth without overwhelm, processing sorrow into growth rather than drowning. The mania spectrum reveals similar truths. Gloria's mild hypomania fueled brilliant creativity, painting through nights with limitless energy. Until sleepless nights multiplied, credit cards maxed on unused supplies, and racing thoughts became uncapturable. She believed her paintings would hang in the Louvre, that galleries conspired against her genius. DSM-5 now emphasizes increased energy and activity as core criteria, not just mood elevation. Gloria found stability not by extinguishing her spark, but modulating it, discovering sustainable enthusiasm without destructive extremes. Your heart races. You can't breathe. Every fiber screams you're dying. But you're not. You're having a panic attack. Your body's alarm firing when there's no fire. The anxiety spectrum pivots on vigilance. Too little and you're reckless. Too much and you're paralyzed, seeing danger everywhere. Healthy anxiety is driving carefully but pleasurably, aware of risks without being consumed. But anxiety becomes vicious. You feel anxious, perceive threats, which increases anxiety, which heightens threat perception. Soon, you're avoiding airplanes, then crowded stores, then leaving home entirely. Treatment with cognitive behavioral therapy, and sometimes medication, restores anxiety to its proper function, a useful warning system rather than constant siren. How do we distinguish visionary insight from psychosis? Martin Luther King Jr. had a dream that changed history. Artists describe channeling their work. These moments exist on the same spectrum as hallucinations. The difference lies in intensity and whether they enhance or destroy our connection to shared reality. The psychosis spectrum runs from lacking imagination to being overwhelmed by hallucinations. The optimal middle is where visionaries operate, inspired but grounded, accessing creative insights while maintaining functional connection. This perspective offers dignity to those experiencing psychosis by recognizing their experiences as extreme manifestations of universal human capacities. Treatment aims not to eliminate visionary experience, but to help integrate these experiences in ways that enrich rather than fragment life. Pete was always organized and high-achieving. But after his mother's illness, his conscientiousness calcified into obsession. He washed his hands until they bled, called his mother repeatedly to confirm she was breathing, developed magical thinking that his rituals kept her alive. ADHD and OCD represent opposite ends of a focus spectrum. ADHD is insufficient focus, attention that flits like a butterfly, unable to land long enough to complete tasks. OCD is excessive focus, attention locked onto repetitive thoughts and behaviors, unable to shift away. The healthy middle ground allows sustained attention when needed while maintaining flexibility to shift appropriately. You can concentrate deeply on work, transition smoothly to family dinner, then relax with a book. Pete's treatment involves sertraline and cognitive behavioral therapy, not to eliminate his attention to detail, but to restore flexibility. He could remain conscientious at work while loosening rigid rituals at home. The goal wasn't changing his personality, but helping him find the middle ground where his natural tendencies served rather than sabotaged him. This principle extends across all spectrums. The substance use spectrum reveals perhaps the most socially complex dimension. One extreme is complete abstinence, the ascetic who views all pleasure with suspicion. The opposite is uncontrolled addiction, life organized entirely around obtaining and using substances. Most of us navigate the middle, enjoying occasional indulgences without losing control. DSM-5 revolutionized addiction diagnosis by eliminating the rigid distinction between abuse and dependence, adopting instead a spectrum model, mild, moderate, or severe. This acknowledges that addiction develops gradually. Weekend drinking becomes nightly drinking, tolerance builds, attempts to cut back fail. Including gambling disorder along substance addictions recognizes that addiction isn't about the substance, but about the brain's reward circuitry. The DSM-5's consolidation of autism diagnoses reveals something profound. Autism represents one end of a connectedness spectrum, with codependence at the opposite extreme. Too much connectedness creates over-enmeshment, losing yourself in relationships, constantly prioritizing others' needs, dissolving boundaries. At the opposite pole, connection becomes impossible, creating profound isolation. The question isn't, do you have autism, but how interpersonally connected are you? The optimal middle demonstrates capacity for connection without excessive fusion, what Buddhist teacher Thich Nhat Hanh calls interbeing. You maintain meaningful relationships while preserving individual identity, collaborate without disappearing, say both yes and no authentically. This transforms autism interventions. Rather than viewing autism as a defect requiring correction, we help individuals develop connection skills that enhance their lives without demanding conformity to neurotypical standards. The personality spectrum examines where we locate problems. At one extreme sits neurotic self-blame, constantly apologizing, shouldering responsibility for circumstances beyond control. At the opposite pole is obnoxious other blame, never acknowledging your contribution to difficulties. This hallmark of personality disorders involves rigid externalization of blame. Consider the narcissist who, when criticized, immediately assumes others are jealous. They genuinely cannot see their role in creating problems, making personality disorders notoriously difficult to treat. The condition itself prevents recognition of the need for change. The balanced middle represents appropriate responsibility, acknowledging mistakes without shame, learning from experience, maintaining boundaries while respecting others' autonomy. Treatment requires long-term therapy focused on gradually developing insight and flexible coping strategies. Progress comes in small increments, moments of self-awareness, tiny shifts in thinking patterns. Group therapy proves particularly effective, providing immediate feedback about interpersonal patterns while offering opportunities to practice new ways of relating. The journey is slow, often frustrating, but possible. People can learn to hold themselves accountable without drowning in self-reproach, to recognize others' contributions without abdicating all responsibility. The optimal middle ground means enjoying substances or activities mindfully while maintaining clear boundaries, having wine with dinner without needing it, enjoying dessert without binge eating. This balanced position emphasizes enhancement over escape. Treatment varies by severity, from complete abstinence for severe addiction to moderation management for milder issues. The goal isn't perfection, but balance, not elimination, but integration. Sometimes that means medication to reduce symptom intensity. Always, it means compassion for the profound challenges of navigating these dimensions. The goal isn't becoming fearless, but developing a healthy relationship with caution, appropriately vigilant without letting fear write your life script. This is the promise of the spectrum approach. Treatment isn't about suppressing who you are, but finding the sweet spot where your natural tendencies enhance rather than derail your life. Bucer concludes with a lotus flower mandala, 8 petals representing the primary spectrums radiating from a central point. This center represents the optimal middle range, where we achieve balance, flexibility, and flow in the present moment. The ultimate goal transcends merely balancing each spectrum. It involves holding opposite poles in creative tension while embracing something entirely new, what Carl Jung called the transcendent function. This isn't compromise, but synthesis that preserves both extremes' vitality while creating something greater. This framework destigmatizes mental illness by showing we all exist on these dimensions. Mental health isn't binary, but a dynamic interplay of psychological dimensions we all navigate. Traits problematic in excess can be beneficial in moderation. Perfectionism drives achievement when balanced, but paralyzes when extreme. Treatment isn't about eliminating parts of ourselves, but finding harmony among diverse psychological tendencies. Your struggles aren't alien pathologies, but human experiences taken to challenging extremes. The goal isn't perfection, but balance, not elimination, but integration. Where do you fall on these spectrums? Which feel balanced, which extreme? The answers aren't diagnoses, but invitations to understand yourself more deeply and recognize that mental health is a journey we're all traveling together.